is Homeland. And how many more, you know, Muslim people have to come out and say, this is propaganda art, you know? So stuff to think about, but we are, oh, look at that. We're all out of time. So thank you, Sam. He's like giving us the eye, like, you guys, we got to get off the air. So Sam, why don't you hit that outro music for us? And we will. There we go. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. So you've been listening to a very special episode of Pacific Underground. Make sure to tune in for our next show on Friday, February 24th at 11 a.m. right here on KBOO. We'll be sharing stories about life in America from an API perspective. So tune in. In the meantime, check us out online at pacificunderground.org or on the socials at PAC Underground. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. There you can find special bonus audio, including a full-length interview with our guest today, immigration attorney Diana Fucre. We'll be releasing that podcast tomorrow, so check it out. Pacific Underground is a production of KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. A big thank you to all of our guests today. Diana Fucre, Executive Director of Voss Romeo Sosa, and Lucy Capehart from the Oregon Nikki Legge Center. Our theme music is by Chops. You can find them on Tumblr. And our engineer is Sam Parrish. Thank you, Sam.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 10 a.m. coming up. It's Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary brought to you by your host, Chris Andre. Followed at 10:15 with Flashpoints. And at 11, a Radio Geekly continues its multi-part series on gatekeeping and the oppression of people of color in geek culture. And thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not currently a member of the KBOO Foundation, you can remedy that oversight at kboo.fm. You click on the word donate. That's all coming up. Keep it locked right here on your community radio, KBOO Portland.
In Cascadia. Today is Friday, February 3rd, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, sanctuary radio, alternative radio, and or Cascadia at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm, everywhere. That sound you heard just before I came on the air, that terrible crunching sound, that was not fracking. In KBOO, that was me walking around in ice cleats until they catch me, of course, and they'll say, take off those ice cleats because you're tearing up the carpeting here. Until then, I'm we'll bravely cleat on forward through the program today. First, some weather. Well, of course, it wouldn't be a nice cleat kind of a day if we didn't have some weather out there. Rain, freezing rain, and sleet. Then rain, freezing rain, or sleet later for a change. And a high around 34 for tonight. Rain, freezing rain, and probably a little sleet thrown in there. Again, lows around 34, and for tomorrow, Saturday, it's going to be rain, and then highs around 43. Saturday night sees a chance of showers and low around 36, and Sunday dawns bright and clear with a chance of rain and highs around 42 throughout the day. For Sunday night, chance of rain, overcast skies and low around 35, which brings us full circle to Monday morning, on which rain is very likely. So that's it. That's the weather. And all know why we do weather, because this is our small crack in the concrete facade of this particular habitat. And it's one of the ways that we remind ourselves that we share a habitat. We've got Dave Rovix on the line. Oklahoma, 1917. Many people have, there were strikes, and I mean brutal strikes. You think about Pinkerton guards, and they make their appearance in movies about the Roaring Twenties and so forth. They roared all right. Pinkerton guards were brutal murderers, and they were strike breakers. They were created and then unleashed on workers. And Dave Rovix has a song about that, Oklahoma 1914. It is the anniversary of an incredibly brutal, murderous attack on striking workers. Let's not forget, everyone, we have an 8-hour workday because of people like this. There's so many things that we take for granted in the workplace that we wouldn't have if it were not for these people, that it's so important to remember them and be inspired by their courage in these times when strike breaking is just as ugly, but it's had a little work done on its face by workers, of course, who work 8-hour days, generally speaking, unless they're highly paid surgeons. And you know how these facial repair people get paid, don't you? Right. So so we have Dave Rovix is waiting online. He's got Oklahoma, and Tillerson has got South Pacific. Yes, indeed. It's a musical thought of a day. President Donald Trump's newly sworn-in Secretary of State, recently retired from ExxonMobil, turned heads when he expressed support for an aggressive military stance against China's action in the disputed South China Sea. Well, we know what that is. They're building islands. They're literally building islands, something that hasn't been talked about with regard to China's island building abilities, is the fact that this is tearing up the undersea environment. But what the hell? It's under the sea, so you can't see it. It's like, you know, under sea. So we don't have to think about it, right? Tillerson, and of course the White House spokesman, of course, are going to be able to keep that one on all on the down low, at least until the bodies start floating away. And I don't mean bodies of starfish either. That would be bad enough, but you know which bodies, of course, we're talking about. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hi, great. Good to have you along. On board, as it were, as we sail
good
off.
Good to be on board.
As we sail off into the sunset, and we hop on a fence, and we sing Oklahoma, an updated version, 1914, where
It's a different song, different incident. You're confusing two different incidences, Chris. The Oklahoma, the massacre of 1914, maybe, or 1913?
No. There was 19. We've got 1917. It's the anniversary of Oklahoma, as I understand it. There was an early one, 1914, that it was in Colorado, and it was striking miners. They had a camp for a very long time.
Yours
is Oklahoma.
1917 is not about a massacre. It's about the Working Class Union, which was an organization with 35,000 members in Oklahoma alone that did a lot of different actions, including armed struggle with Pinkertons. But that was only one aspect of the thing. I mean,
what he said exactly. Yeah, I've been recently reading about strikes across the West, and one of them in Colorado reminds me that a great deal was accomplished in Oklahoma by these strikes. The union, workers' union, was formed, and we sure need that today. We certainly need this song to inspire people to do some really good work. This is something that can be done, even in a Trump in political environment. There are so many actions people can take, and the actions on behalf of working Americans, on behalf of labor, that's something that we badly need. We need to restore the leverage of labor unions, which it's fading fast. Not going to have too many more chances, and it's the labor movement. There's so many songs that came out of that effort. So many songs. So if this is not a timely song, then really someone tell me, please, what is this? This is it. I don't know if we are able to play a little bit of that. We have top-notch engineer in there. I was not able to bring the link over into the run sheet because I barely made it here on time, driving on solid ice. yes, indeed. I believe, though, that Sam has got that. And if we could listen to a little bit of that, I'll be ready with my finger on the button in case there's anything in there that I did not hear last night when I listened to the song. Yeah, I thought so. But, I was listening to it last night, and I thought, good. Here we go.
Story in parts usually depends on when it starts, when it first became a state, a grand convention, a great debate. But in the end, understand, speculators own the land to maximize the landlord's greed. They'd only sell cotton seeds of the tenant farmers as a mass, formed the union of the working class. The flags were red and the corn was green. Oklahoma, 1917.
Right, and it continues, and I hope that everyone will give it a listen. And the other thing too that I note when I get email from you is the concept of a music CSA. What an incredibly beautiful idea that is! What a creative way to use the CSA paradigm.
I think it's kind of like the CSA with agriculture, which people would be familiar with in our listening audience, especially. But the idea that the farmer, you sign up at X amount of money per month, and you get vegetables or whatever produce that you can pick up once a month. But the idea with the CSA with music is the same, except it's art instead of agriculture. But I think it's worth pointing out too that, I mean, although I think it is a good idea and it's great that we can do this and that there are people who want to support small farmers and musicians, I think the CSA originated with small farmers for the same reason that it's becoming popular with musicians, which is desperation. You know, you can't make a living. You can't make a living in this environment as a small farmer or as a musician. And so you turn to your support, your fans or whatever, your customers, and you try to figure out a way to survive, you know, because we don't sell CDs anymore, and small farmers don't get to sell stuff for prices that allow them to survive. So, you know, we do CSAs and try to make that work. And for me, it's working. You know, a lot of other people who are not as good at begging, it's not working.
So it also, it would seem to me, coming from a permaculture perspective, which we talk a lot about healthy ways of building healthy communities. And it, when I first heard your effort, was the first that I had heard of using a CSAs in music, in you know, the current financial world that musicians are forced to try to make a living. So this builds, this is a, of course, I think of community, and I think of what a great way of building community. What's your experience been with community building? Have you what does that it look like from your perspective?
Well, it's definitely a community. I mean, for me, it is. I think of it as a community of all the people that are signed up to my CSA. I don't know. I imagine they think of themselves as a community of some kind. I mean, it is all about part. You know, the community building is part of the process, I guess, of doing anything like this. It's the same, I guess, with booking my tours. I mean, there's a community of people involved with organizing the gigs. If you look at it in that way, it's all also about community building.
Well, yeah, it is, and also it's about undermining banking systems as well. That's another thought that one might want to pursue. It does. This is why it may, that why the these different business forms out there. I mean, I'm not going to say the U word. We all know about that. But Lyft and some of these other things, Airbnb, some of these other alternative forms of providing goods and services in ways that avoid Wall Street. They're little. We taking side streets around Wall Street, and doing spectacularly well because people are so tired of those old paths. We're totally out of time. One final thought from you, David, before I let you go.
Well, 2017. It's a good year to remember